Morning, church.
Good morning.
How's everybody? I missed that one. Anyway. A taco and preacher Bob, yes. Where on earth did that come from? How does a preacher and a taco? Never mind.
Cat. Remember cat pockets spelled PC and the O to the end? And we got taco.
What exactly did you have for breakfast this morning? There's something we all possess, but we don't want. It's something that we want to get rid of, but we keep it. It's something that's powerful enough to keep us from moving forward, not only in life, but in Christ. And that something is guilt. Guilt, powerful thing. I want us to look at two types and two definitions for guilt. But no, there's a difference between types of guilt and definitions for guilt. So we're going to take a peek at them. The two types of guilt are biblical and false. Biblical guilt is a reality. It's a violation of Scripture. Bottom line, that's exactly what it is. It falls under the definition, the first definition of the word, a feeling of deserving blame for offenses. This type and definition are justifiable because as Christians, we should have a sense of guilt for sins, right? We really should have that sense of guilt, sins we've committed, sins that, you know, maybe we didn't even realize. But that feeling of deserving blame or guilt should drive us to our knees. It should drive us to repentance. It should drive us to confess and to turn away from that sin. Confess it, lay it out to God. Listen, Jesus speaking of the Holy Spirit, John 16:8. When he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Before we move on to this, let's think about this verse. We're now living in the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. That's where we're living right now. One meaning of dispensation is acting on a system of revealed commands and promises regulating human affairs. Simply put, he's doing the work of God on our behalf. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing. The result of his conviction is twofold. It's twofold. Either people embrace it and accept it, accept the discipline, and are saved through baptism, or they reject it and they harden their hearts and they're condemned by it, never knowing God, never caring to know who God really is. Let's look at two scriptures that really define that twofold description right there. Romans 8:1, and it should be 13:12. I think there's a little typo on your sheets there. It should be 13:12 instead of 13:2. But anyway, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Okay, that's the good part right there, where it says right there that embracing it, embracing the discipline, being saved by it through baptism. Let's look at the other scripture, Romans 13:12. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinances of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. That's a scary verse, guys. That's a very scary verse, and it backs up what the other one said. You know, I don't even want to know God. That's fine. In God's eyes, right there, you will receive condemnation. That's God speaking. That's not me speaking right here. So looking back at that verse from John 16:8, what Jesus meant is to be truly convicted by the Holy Spirit, he has to be dwelling within us. That's where the conviction comes from, because his conviction is not recognized until he is. People without the Holy Spirit don't recognize the conviction. They don't recognize the sin. They could care less about that. But a Christian with the Holy Spirit dwelling in here, that Holy Spirit is continually convicting us. Convicting us. Biblical guilt comes upon us from the Holy Spirit's indwelling. That's where it comes from. That's his conviction. It drives us to our knees. It makes us confess. It makes us repent. It makes us to ask forgiveness. And that's the Holy Spirit urging. urging within us. And if we truly understand the mercies of God and we lay our sins out before Him, we know. Underline that word, know. I don't know why it starts with a K, but anyway, I didn't write it. Underline that word, know. We lay our sins out before Him and we know we are forgiven. We know it because God said it. Let's look at something. Look at Psalm 103:12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Listen, church. Biblical guilt is only a temporary state. Think about it. When we confess and we repent, it's erased. It's remembered no more by God. Because Jesus Christ died for us. Jesus Christ shed His blood that we could be cleansed from sin. What an amazing Savior we have. Listen to Isaiah 38:17. Lo, for my own welfare I had great bitterness. It is You who has kept my soul from the pit of nothingness, for You have cast all my sins behind Your back. The strong conviction of the Holy Spirit will come almost immediately after the sin is committed. After we do that thing, when maybe we realize it, maybe we don't, but since we've realized we've done, that conviction comes. Holy Spirit says, wait a minute, think about this. Think about what you're doing. Listen, don't ignore that feeling, but recognize it. Recognize it's the Holy Spirit. Lay it out before God and move on. Lay it out before God and move on. Not only believing, but knowing you've been forgiven. And listen, church, how you do it matters. How you do it really matters. You know, don't say something like, oh, you know, God, I'm sorry about that. And then move on. Okay, that's not what God wants to hear. God knows a sorrowful heart, and He looks for a sorrowful, repentant heart. That's what He looks for. And when we're laying out our sins, okay, when we're laying out our sins to Him, lay it out with a sorrowful heart. God, you know, I screwed up, and I'm laying it out before You. And I want Your help in turning away from this sin. I want Your help, and I want the blood of Christ to cleanse me of my sins. And we know, if we ask with that heart, that God will forgive us. If we ask for that heart, that right way. So, one thing, and it's great here in the Isaiah verse, you have cast all my sins behind Your back. Don't go reaching behind God's back and drag your sins out again. Okay, that's not what He wants. He wants you to say, okay, since I put it behind my back, oh yeah, by the way, I'm God, you can forget about it. It's been erased. It's been forgiven. Because I've seen in your heart how sorry you are. I've seen that. That's an awesome thing, guys. We can be forgiven. It's amazing. So let's look at the other type of guilt and the other definition. It is called false guilt. It's defined as feelings of deserving blame, especially for imagined offenses or from a sense of inadequacy. Imagined offenses are the sins that we dredge up from the past. Okay, those we've already repented of. We've already been forgiven of them. We imagine that we've not been forgiven of those past offenses because of our sense of inadequacy. That's why we carry that stuff around. You know, this, my friends, it's directly from the evil one. This is where it comes from. Our arch enemy who will constantly badger us about our past sins and nag and nag and nag. That's how he works. He will say, that sin, oh, that sin was so bad, you know, and since you've been carrying it around, you must not have been forgiven of it. That's how he works. That's what he wants to convince us of. You've been carrying that thing around, you know. One thing the enemy is happy to do is to help us carry our sins, our past sins. He's really happy about that. He may bring a wheelbarrow and say, hey, you know what, let's fill this up with your past sins. And when this gets too full, we'll go get a pickup truck and we'll just keep piling your sins in there. Because, you know, if you're carrying them around, God didn't forgive you. I mean, he is so convincing in that, isn't he, guys? Very convincing. He lays that guilt out there. Listen to me, church. If and when that feeling tries to overtake you, that feeling of false guilt, stop whatever you're doing. Stop wherever you are and say these words that came right from the mouth of Jesus Christ. Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. Great little line, right? Great little verse. That quote came from Matthew 16. But let's look at this in a different light. Matthew 16, 21 through 23. Excuse me. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord, this shall never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. If you're not setting your mind on God's interest, but man's. Jesus really got in Peter's face. And basically what Jesus said to Peter is, Satan is trying to make you think that I can't do what I came to do. That's what he's trying to make you think. That I'm not powerful enough to do what I came to do. Okay? That's exactly what happens to us when we underestimate the true power of Jesus' sacrifice. Jesus gave everything for us. Everything. You know, thinking that God, what God has already forgiven us of, can be resurrected again. Can be brought up again. And that brings on false guilt. False guilt. Now, we have to consider that the true resurrection of Jesus Christ, what he's done, it's already cleansed us. We can see that in the Word so clearly. Listen to Romans 14, 22. Okay. The faith which you have. We have faith that Jesus Christ was died on that cross for our sins and has resurrected and is alive and he is in glory. He's at the right hand of the Father. He's alive. And that's our faith right there, the faith which we have. Jesus Christ died for me, but guess what? He's living again. That's why baptism is so important. I've died to myself. I've died to my old self. I'm resurrected now with Jesus Christ. And since I'm resurrected, God recognizes that. And I am forgiven. There's no maybe in there. There's no doubt in there. If God said it, I believe it. If God wrote it down, I believe it. And it is, it's written down. And the verse goes on. Have as your own conviction before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. Strong faith is knowing without a doubt. Knowing without a doubt that all that false guilt, what Jesus has already done, frees us from that false guilt of sin. We don't have to carry it anymore. Why? Because Jesus carried it for us. What an amazing Savior. And God reminds us, don't continue to condemn yourself. Don't do it. And I'm going to repeat it again. God is saying, don't reach behind my back and drag your old sins back out again. Because that's exactly what the enemy wants you to do. And he will tell you that. You know, go look behind God's back and go see the sins you've done. So he'll try to convince you about that. Go get them. Drag them back out. Let's talk about them. Get behind me, Satan. Get behind me. You stumbling block to me. I have the power of the Holy Spirit living within me, which convicts me. And I lay it out before God who forgives me. So Satan, take a hike. We got to have that strength. We got to have that strength. Let's break down a few passages here. Philippians 3:8. More than that, I count all things to be in loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish so that I may gain Christ. Look at this verse this way, church. Count your sins as being lost. Count your sins as rubbish, knowing that what Jesus Christ did has cleansed you of your sins. His death, his resurrection have cleansed us, and it will continue to cleanse us if we continue in the faith of Jesus Christ. If we continue to focus on Him and have our faith in Him. Philippians 3, 9 through 11. And we may be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Look at, underline that. I know it's in bold. The power of His resurrection. Power of that. And the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Think about it, church. By baptism, you have been resurrected from the dead. Your past sins have not. They're gone. They're buried. They're buried in the water. They're buried under the blood of Jesus Christ. Because of Jesus' suffering, your past sin is exactly that. It's past. It's dead. It's dead. Don't go digging it up again. And by the continual flow of the blood of Jesus Christ, and praise God for that, it continues to cleanse us when we are sorrowful and repentant and asking forgiveness. That blood of Christ cleanses us and cleanses us. Think about it, because the book of Hebrews tells us that the blood of Jesus Christ goes forward and it goes backwards. All of those people that were so dedicated to God, they did not know about Jesus. Well, they knew about Jesus Christ, but they did not know Him. They were covered by His blood. Why? Because God said so. The blood goes backwards and it goes forwards. And it will continue to go forward until Jesus Christ comes again. That blood is a continual flow in our lives. And that blood is the most powerful force that works in our lives. Okay? When Satan tries to bug the crap out of you and he's outside your house beeping his horn in his little pickup saying, come on, let's go fill up this thing with some sins. Okay? Get behind me, Satan. Get behind me. Take off. Take off. Awesome. 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 Two scripture verses together. Romans 8, 29 and 30. Romans 5, 1 and 2. Verse 29 says, for those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become to conform to the image of His Son, so that He would be the firstborn among many brethren. Let's pause there for a second. Underline firstborn of many brethren. I don't know what number I am, but I'm one of the many. I'm one of the many. You are one of the many. Jesus is the firstborn. Jesus did it first. Jesus died for us, always asking that we die to ourselves. And we recognize what He did. Because in that recognition, we know we can be forgiven. Yeah, we screw up. Hey, we're guilty right here. I screw up on a daily basis. And God knows that. The Holy Spirit knows that. But the Holy Spirit convicts me. And I understand that, okay, I screwed up. But I don't have to carry it around with me. Holy Spirit says, yeah, you screwed up. Let's take care of that right now. You lay it out before God. You lay it out there with a sorrowful heart. And God says, that's another one's going behind my back. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Verse 30. Those whom He predestined, He also called. And these whom He called, He also justified. And these whom He justified, He also glorified. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we exalt in the hope of the glory of God. I love that verse right here. Introduction by faith into the grace in which we stand. If God is giving us His grace, God wants us to stand firm because He says, I'll stand with you. I'll firm you up. If you start to lean a little bit, I'll pull you back. The grace of God in which we stand. It's powerful. It's powerful. Justified. Listen, justified means declared no longer guilty. How's that one?
Justified never sinned.
You know, when you lay your sin out to God and God says, you're justified. What does that tell you in your little brain? Okay? I am no longer found guilty. I can move on. I can put a smile on my face and say, yeah, I screwed up, but you know what? It's gone. It's in the past. It's dead. And I'm not digging it up again. I don't care what the enemy says. I'm not digging it up again anymore. It doesn't belong to me anymore. It's gone. It's dead. It's in the past. Biblical guilt, guys, biblical guilt is a reality. It's a reality and it's a necessity. We need it. We need it to remind us each and every day that we've got to lay out our sins to God. We've got to confess. We've got to repent. We've got to stand firm in that grace under the blood of Jesus Christ. Simplistic. Very simplistic. False guilt. False guilt is from the enemy, and we cannot let it bring us down. We can't carry that burden anymore. And again, if it happens to come up, what are we going to say? Okay, one or two people are going to say that. What are we all going to say?
Get behind me, Satan.
That's right. Get behind me. As a matter of fact, don't even get behind me. Get so far behind me that I can't even see you anymore. Come on, guys. We have the strength. We have the power. It's in here. It's in here. We have it. Use it. Use it. Let me end here with 1 John 4:1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Just like the verse says, test which spirit of guilt is coming upon you. Is it a biblical guilt from God that you understand you need to repent of? Or is it a false guilt that's trying to dredge up your past? Is it a false guilt that's trying to make you feel bad? Exactly. Test the spirit. Which guilt is coming upon me? I want the guilt from the Holy Spirit. Trust me, we all do. We lay it out before God. We're forgiven. It's gone. Don't dredge it up again. Let's go to God in prayer. Father God, we thank you for the power of your grace. We thank you for the power of the blood of Jesus Christ that allows us, Father God, to lay our sins out before you and to be forgiven. And the enemy hates that, Father God. He hates the fact that we're forgiven. That's why he bugs us all the time about bringing up past sins. But no, Father God, we know that by the power of baptism, we've been resurrected with Christ, and all those sins have not. We thank you for the suffering of Jesus. We thank you for the blood that is a continual flow in our lives. And please, Father God, keep us to have a heart, a sorrowful heart, a confessing heart, a repentant heart. And we can't let the enemy's false guilt overtake us. And if we stand firm in your grace, it will not. Thank you, Father God, for this blessing, for this assurance. And we just thank you, God, for, wow, for being so amazing. You are a God that is such a pleasure and an honor to serve. It's always in his name we pray. Amen. If there's anything we can do to get closer to Jesus Christ, come as we stand and sing.